name is Bethany. I am one of the pastors here at CA Students, and I am so stoked to be here with you tonight. This is actually going to be my first talk ever at CA Students. I guess they like trust me now or something, so that's nice. Well, for the past 4 weeks, we have been in a series called Grow, and we are so passionate about this series and this theme because we believe that life with Christ is the absolute best life. It is the most fulfilling, the most exciting, the most joyous life that we could possibly live. Can I get an amen? Yeah. Amen. And the awesome thing is that as we grow to know his love and his glory, those parts of who he is well up from inside of us and overflow onto the world around us. The result of grow is overflow. And something this good can't be kept to ourselves. The world needs to know about what God is doing in our lives. And we need a community who can help us dig down into the depths of who we are for real relationship with God and each other. 2 weeks ago, we talked about how we can no longer say that we don't have time to grow because the truth is that we make time for the things that matter to us. And growing with God is a priority so worth saying yes to, because when we say yes, our faithful God is there to help us grow. It is his work, his plan, and by his strength that we grow. Amen. Levi used the analogy of a sunflower. We need to be like a sunflower, turning our head toward the sun so that we can be transformed by his light. And man, I love that analogy. I love to know that all you have to do is turn toward the Lord and say yes, and he'll take care of the rest. But you know what else is true about sunflowers? Let's see how many weeks we can get this analogy used. In order for sunflowers to grow, it had to first get through a lot of dirt. I don't know about you guys, but I have been through a lot of dirt. I've dealt with family issues. I've been through absolute heartache and loneliness. I've failed and been afraid that it would define my entire future. Maybe you're in the dirt too. Maybe you're in a hard season right now and you're not quite sure how things are going to turn out. And you've been coming here to CA Students for the past couple weeks and you hear everyone talking about how we need to grow and you're like, how am I supposed to grow? I barely have the strength to get through the day. Well, I have good news. What I've realized through family problems and breakups and lost jobs and loneliness is that suffering and overcoming is at the center of the story of our Savior. We serve a God who literally came to earth, who endured pain and testing and is able to empathize with the things that we go through. He is able to be our help in times of need. Scripture says this about Jesus. There was nothing attractive about him. Nothing to cause us to take a second look. He was looked down on and passed over, a man who suffered, who knew pain firsthand. How crazy is that? The God of the universe knew pain and loneliness. See, as students, we live in a world that tells us to either romanticize pain or ignore it, to let it define us or let it destroy us, that pain is an interruption to what should be a perfect and easy life, that there is no meaning to our pain. I don't know about you, but I can't live like that. The world tells us, I suffer so I can't grow. But Jesus said, I suffered so that you can grow. Jesus became the ultimate example of making something beautiful out of the dust, out of bringing life from death. And now we get to grow because of what he did for us. I suffered so that you can grow. So we're going to talk a little bit more about that tonight. But first, will you just pray with me? God, we thank you that nothing is beyond your ability to redeem and restore, that you are writing a brilliant and powerful story that we get to be a part of. So, Father, would you just pour your hope and your truth out upon us tonight? Would we experience you in the midst of our pain in a greater way than we ever thought was possible? We love you. We give you this night. In your name, amen. So you guys can grab your handouts. And if you have your Bibles with you, you can open it up to Romans 5, 3 through 5. And we'll get into that in just a second. That's Romans 5, 3 through 5. But before we dive into this, I just wanted to address those of you in the room who are maybe already feeling like this message isn't going to apply to you. Maybe this isn't a hard time for you. Maybe you're not in the dirt. The thing is, if it's not applicable today, it is going to be at some point in your life. The reality is that we all go through trials, and it's part of living in this world. How much better to know what God has to say about growing through suffering before it happens? Can we take advantage of this opportunity? Yeah. But just as important, there are people in this room who are saying, yeah, that's me. And more than likely, those people are your friends. Scripture tells us to mourn with those who mourn and rejoice with those who rejoice. Your friends need to know the truth of what God's word says, and they need you to lean on. So let's enter into this topic as a community. Cool? Cool. All right. Last week, Levi talked about Romans 5, and he reminded us that God's love has been poured out on us, and that gives us hope. So I want us to just read that passage again. This is Romans 5, 3 through 5. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Perseverance, character, hope. This is like the step-by-step guide on how to become more like Jesus. These virtues help each other to grow. They build on each other. And what Romans is saying in this verse is that these qualities grow best during hard times. Think about it this way. If you're a runner, you're not going to get any better if you don't push yourself to go further. If you're an athlete, you're not going to get any stronger if you don't start lifting heavy weights. As a musician or a dancer, you have to put in thousands of hours to do your best. You know that in order to go the distance, you have to push yourself. You have to put stress on your muscles so they'll take you further and you'll reach your fullest potential. If we want to grow in anything, we have to challenge ourselves. What makes us think that faith would be any different? Write this down. In order to grow, I must be challenged. In order to grow, I must be challenged. See, students, I know I'm guilty of this. We pray for God to help us to grow, but then turn around and pray that he sends away the seasons that will help us to grow the most. I'm not saying that God is putting bad situations in your life, but he desires to grow you through them. I mean, don't get me wrong. It would be awesome if growing was like super easy. Like if before bed, we like said a little prayer and like got under our sheets and like God came in like the tooth fairy or something and like sprinkled perseverance and hope on our pillow. I mean, the dream. But also, not reality. These virtues, perseverance, character, hope, they are developed through hard times. They're developed through trials. And trials dare our soul to be true to God. They dare us to be courageous, to trust that God hasn't abandoned us, but rather that he's going to take these hard seasons and create a story that will blow our minds. Romans 5:3, we glory in our sufferings. Other versions say we rejoice, we boast, we shout praises even when we're hemmed in with trouble, because we know that hard times will help us grow. And we will get to experience a God who is so generous. We will literally not even be able to contain all of the blessing that he pours out on us if we choose to seek him when it's not easy. It's not that pain stops hurting. It's not that all of our problems are solved. But when we catch the vision for how we can draw near to him in our pain, when we catch the vision for how he can use our life and our pain to change the world around us, pain no longer is the strongest power in our life. God's love is the power that defines our life. And it's only when God is our greatest love that we can face any trial with absolute peace. One of my favorite books as a kid was called Little Pilgrim's Progress. I'm going to be honest, it's like a little bit cheesy, but I'm going to need y'all to find your like 7-8-year-old self because it's also really, really powerful. And if you look over at Jake, he like might be crying while I talk about this because it's that good. Little Pilgrim's Progress. Sorry, Jake, love you. Little Pilgrim's Progress is about a boy named Christian, and it's about his journey from a town called Destruction to a town called the Celestial City. And the whole book is about this journey that he takes and the people that he encounters and the places that he passes through. One of these places is called the Dark Valley. The book says the dark valley was narrow and there was no way for little Christian to see in front of him. There was light flashing every few minutes. He couldn't tell if it was flame or lightning. The air was filled with terrible sounds and the path was dangerous. The author said this may have been the worst part of little Christian's journey. But he knew that if he wanted to get to the Celestial City, he would have to walk in the path that the king had laid before him. And so he trusted the king to keep him safe. During the middle of the night, he began to hear voices. And he was afraid that he was going to be captured. And he was so afraid that he considered turning back. But then thought to himself, perhaps I am already halfway through. And going back would be worse than moving forward. And you know what? Little Christian continued to walk through the valley, and he made it through. CA students, even when we walk through the darkest valleys of our lives, we cannot go backward, and we cannot become stagnant. We have to keep moving forward. We need to trust that he is creating a story that is so brilliant that at the end of time, we will stand and worship him in awe of the way that he wove our stories together, the way your story, impacted her story, impacted mine. Write this down. The world says pain is pointless, but God gives pain purpose. The world says pain is pointless, but God gives pain purpose. Speaking of God giving pain purpose, I invited a friend of mine here tonight who has a phenomenal story of God working through a really painful time in her life. And so I asked her to come and share with us about it. But before she comes up, we are going to watch a little video about her story. Ideally with sound.
Just sing.
My name is Nicole. I'm a music education major, and I'm going to come this summer.
I promise the song isn't supposed to be this happy.
And toured this past year was in the Pacific Northwest, and we just toured around, sometimes doing 2 concerts a day, and I had.
I love you, Kenzie. I love you so much. Just a little video. Just sing.
My name is Mackenzie Han. I'm a music education major, and I was at a coma this summer. Woo! I was on a tour with the University Choir and Orchestra, and toured this past year was in the Pacific Northwest, and we just toured around, sometimes doing 2 concerts a day. And I had 2 solos per concert. So May 12th is a Thursday, and I was so sick that I just said, okay, I gotta go to urgent care. Got some antibiotics. The next day felt so great. And the next day, I woke up in the middle of the night to reach for my phone at the end of my bed, and I hit my head. And the next morning, my head hurt a lot. and I thought that it was a headache. And despite the pain that I felt, I still sang in our last concert on May 15th. At this time, everyone had thought that I had a concussion because I hit my head and my head hurt the next day. So I went to the hospital, took a CT scan, and there was no swelling to be had. And from that moment, I went into a coma. So the rest of the story, I only know from from people telling me because I don't remember it at all. That night, was sick even more so. Monday, they gave me another CT scan, and the right side of my brain had swelled. The doctor came in, opened up my eyes, and shook my head around, and my eyes don't move at all. And that's due to the cranial pressure. And they call that doll eyes. So that was just a sign that I needed an emergency surgery.
My sister had her craniectomy, and that being a surgery that allows the brain to swell without the possibility of too much pressure on the brain stem, which does cause fatality. From that point, it was a process of 80 days in the hospital. It was a process of the unknown, not knowing what was going to happen. And the fact that it took so long for the doctors to diagnose it really explained the severity of the situation. It became a lot of truly discovering what patience meant. After her initial brain surgery to relieve the brain swelling, the neurologist pulled my parents aside and I heard him say, "I just wanted to let the both of you know that you're not going to get your daughter back if she survives, because she's not going to have a pristine healing. People don't come out of this okay. And she isn't going to do well." I remember just thinking, how am I going to live past this? This cannot be happening right now. It was a sentence of no hope, no God, no belief in a power that does save with miracles. So we took that word pristine and we said, okay, this is going to be the motto for the rest of the time, no matter how long it is, this is going to be our word. And we clung to that and we said, Mackenzie will have a pristine healing. She will survive past this night and past the next day and the next week and month and year, and that she can live a life that we hope for her to live. So after several weeks, the doctors came back and they said, "We got it, we have the diagnosis. It's called acute hemorrhagic leukoencephalitis." We're like, "Oh, what? What is that? Sorry, say that again." And they said, "We only have about 100 cases of this in the world that's ever been documented. The survival rate is very, very low." And it just made us realize how incredibly lucky and blessed we were to still have her with us even after the first week.
The main thing that I remember when I came out of my coma was my family. And I vividly remember just waking up every day knowing I can't walk on my own. Swallowing and breathing on my own was the number one priority, and I had to relearn that as well. But I started physical therapy, speech therapy, and occupational therapy, and I had those three every single day. And I just remember just the determination that I had to have to gain back what I didn't have anymore. Our release date was August 3rd, and we drove home 12 hours, and we were very happy to be home. And the next day, I walked by myself for the first time, and Maddie stayed 2 weeks at home and then went off to her sophomore year, and I stayed home to take a semester off. And that's really truly when the suffering began, I feel, because not going back to school, that was an interesting challenge that I had to face, and that goes alongside my relationship with God. It was a challenge because I asked why. Why did this happen? Why is my senior year not going as planned? But the definition of pristine is perfect, and that is who God is, and we are perfect in His image. And I have lots of artwork around just declaring that I'm going to have a pristine recovery. And I have since I'm here.
We are never alone.
Help me welcome up Mackenzie. Hi, friend. So this is my Mackenzie. I've known her for like 4 years now. Crazy, that's crazy. And the video that we watched was last summer. Kind of crazy looking back on that, huh?
Yeah, we filmed...
We do have one.
We filmed it... end of January, just a couple months ago, and I got to speak, like I'm able to speak to you tonight, in front of my peers at Azusa Pacific University.
So. Woo! What's Yo! Up? Well, Mackenzie, we would just love to hear, how did your faith grow through that hard summer a year ago, and also, you know, how has that impacted your faith now?
Absolutely. Wow, well... tying in with what Bethany shared of Little Christian and walking through the valley of the shadow of death, literally. My mom bought me a little bag that was in the hospital gift shop, and it was actually a quote from Abraham Lincoln that said, "I may walk slowly, but I never walk backwards." And everything that I had to gain, I knew it already. I just had to regain strength. So I think I need to redo that video sometime, but just the fact that I didn't have to relearn to swallow, relearn to breathe. It was just gaining the strength to do it all over again. And one of the biggest things was to walk. I mean, the fact that I'm even walking in little wedges tonight, like, that's a massive deal. Yeah. Woo! Yeah. So with that, whatever you're going through, what I learned through my faith is that you may walk slowly. You may walk with your therapist for 80 days and then by yourself for the first time in 3 months and walk like a 3-year-old toddler, but still that's walking forward.
Yeah.
You're going to fall a lot. Something that I love is just the fact that God teaches us and kind of rejoices in our failures and when we fall. So as a little baby is learning how to walk and they fall and they look through their mom and dad and go, was that good enough? It's like, hey, yeah, you did a great job. Yeah. Do it again. Try again. Try again. Mm. And that was the same of last summer. So every time that I crashed into the walls, literally would crash into walls, I would... every day it was regaining strength, not only physically, but spiritually as well. Mm. And regarding the faith question, you guys, with what happened with the swelling of my brain, my emotions were kind of knocked out for a little bit. So much so that I could not cry and I could not laugh. Until one day when it all came back in one time and I cried and laughed in the same day and my parents were like, okay, what's happening? Oh, where am I going with that? Emotions. Oh, faith.
Oh,
another thing.
Oh yeah.
That struggle of faith did not really become an issue until what I said, the struggle when my sister went off to college and I didn't join her. Because it was a thing where I'm the big sister and she's 2 years younger than me, and we go to school together, and she went alone, and that struggle of going, okay, God, you saved my life, and I know that you have a purpose. I have no idea what it is, but I'm here, being a firstborn only child for about 3 months while my sister's off at college, and I'm having to trust you, and that's when my faith really grew. One thing that I wanted to share was just the fact that on the sixth day, this disease kills most people on the sixth day because one side of your brain starts to swell, and then on the sixth day, your entire brain swells. And that's when it closes off on your brain stem. And that's what happened. So my parents got a call on Sunday morning at 3:30 in the morning and said, get here now, your daughter's going to die. And they ran to the hospital, took down my hospital bed to kneeling level, and kneeled before the Lord. And my mom, raising her arms up, saying, "Thank you so much, God, for these 21 years that you gave us." It wasn't a petition of, "Please give us more." It was a, "Thank you." And that's, you guys, I've never shared this with anyone except my close friends. That's when God gave her a vision of my future, that I would be 100% full with beautiful little children running around with my husband. I don't know what his name is. I don't know how old I was. But I know that that's the future for me. Yeah. So she, at that moment, on the sixth day, was given hope that I was going to be okay. And I'm standing on the stage now.
Amen.
Just fine, knowing that that future is going to, that prophecy. So hopefully, if you don't get a prophecy like that, if you don't get a vision like that on the sixth day like my mom did, I hope that you can live in God's promise that he has a purpose in the fact that that was the sixth day and we had 73 more to go.
Yeah.
And my mom had no idea what in the world if her oldest daughter was going to be Mackenzie again. And I don't think I am, because I'm grown from this. Hmm. I've growed from...
Wow.
I've growed? Is that a word? Grammar, college, yeah. I've learned a lot through this, and I am very, very grateful for it.
That's amazing.
Oh, man. Woo! I don't even need to talk anymore. That was so good. In just like one or two sentences, and you kind of really said so much already, but is there anything else that you want to say to students here who feel like they're in the dirt, like they're going through a hard time?
Something that I love to truly believe is that there is purpose in your pain. I don't want to rejoice in the pain that you're going through. I don't know what you're going through, but all of you have something. I know it.
Yeah.
So not to thank God for your hurt, but to be in it and really rest in it and to know that you're going to look back on this day and go, "Oh, that was your whole purpose." Wow. Oh, okay. So looking forward to God's plan and know that he has one for you and to be honor that he's using you as an instrument for his glory as he is tonight. The fact that I get to share what he did through me and kept me on this earth for a purpose. So you're here tonight for a purpose.
That's so good. Thank you so much, Mackenzie. She's going to stick around after program, so come say hi to her if you want to ask her for prayer. She's such an awesome person of faith, and anyway, come say hi, shake her hand, give her a hug or something. But yeah, man, thank you so much. Guys, Jesus wants to write you an overcoming story. You know, if that doesn't convince you of it, then man, what will? It's amazing. And we're going to shift a little bit, and I'm going to give you guys three quick practical ways that you can grow through hard times. So here's the first one. It's going to be know truth. Know truth. Matthew 5:4 said, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted." Personally, in my life, I like to think of this verse as, blessed am I when I mourn, because I will get to experience the comfort of God. Something I've learned is that there's a difference between knowing and experiencing God's truth. When you experience his peace that passes all understanding, when you experience him as a safe place, when you experience him drawing near to your broken heart, you know Jesus is all you need. You don't really know Jesus is all you need until Jesus is all you have. So do what it takes to fill your life with truth. Number two is choose positivity. Choose positivity. We live in a world that has such a love affair with pain. I mean, let's be real. Taylor Swift would not have a career if we didn't. He's the reason for the teardrops on my guitar. Why do you have to be so mean? I could go on and on, back to December all the time. I know you know what I'm talking about. We go through a hard time and we start listening to sad music and watching sad movies and getting sucked into like this vortex of negativity. Guys, 2 Corinthians 2:5 says to take every thought captive. If what you're listening to, if what you're watching is sucking you into negativity, stop. Just stop. You know what I'm talking about. Music, movies, Instagram, YouTube. These are all outlets that can bring negativity in our life, and let's just take it out. Amen? Amen. Amen. Guys, your words have power. Positivity affects the rate at which we either move toward God or away from Him. It affects the way He can change our life. It's one thing to choose positivity when things are going well, but it's a completely different thing to choose positivity when you're in the dirt. Look at Mackenzie. If she'd woken up out of her coma and the doctors were like, oh, you're not going to have a pristine healing, and she was like, oh, okay, well, that's the end of the story. But it wasn't. And because she chose to be positive and hopeful and surround herself with people who were going to bring that into her life, God did a miracle. She knew that if God was going to heal her, she had to see herself as the victor and not the victim. So I ask you, CA students, what's your identity going to be today? Are you going to be the victim or the victor? If you want to see God change your life, you need to start speaking it into existence. You need to choose positivity. Know truth, choose positivity, and finally, encourage others. Encourage others. It's kind of a strange one, right? Like, how am I supposed to pour out into other people when I feel like I have nothing to give? Do you know that research shows that volunteering and serving literally reduces depression and health risks? How crazy is that? That helping others makes us healthier. Not only do we get to show Jesus to others, but really, when we serve, Jesus shows Himself to us. We don't have to hide our hard times. God literally tells us to boast in our weaknesses, to share them with the world. Because instead of the world seeing your weaknesses, what they'll see is Christ working in you. What they'll see is Christ growing you. And Christ will overflow onto the world around us. Encourage others. Know truth, choose positivity, and encourage others. Guys, these are the keys to growing through suffering. And they're so possible. They're so possible. There are days where we have to sit in the pain of what has happened in our lives, but it has to be with the confidence that it's not the end of our story. Amen. See, students, when you rest in the hope and the strength of the Lord during your suffering, your story is a light to the world. Your story shows Jesus to a world that so desperately needs to know that their suffering is not invisible and not pointless. When you live into your calling, it changes the world. So I have to ask, what is your story going to be today? How are you going to let God grow you through the hardest seasons of your life? Are you going to look at your struggles as the finale of your story, or are you going to move forward knowing that you are almost through the dark valley and you have a good and kind King who is writing the next chapter? Jesus said, I suffered so you can grow. And we get to say, I suffer so I can grow. Ask God how He is going to change your life through this experience, and He'll show you. Maybe you've been sitting in this room and you feel like you've been suffering alone. You've been in the dirt alone. You haven't known if God is for you or against you or if He even wants you. Let me tell you today that the sun reaches through our dirt, even when we can't feel it, and His light will grow you. God wants to enter into your pain and weakness and show you the fullness of His ability to restore and to heal. Do you want to know who suffered more than anyone, who understands your pain so intimately? It's Jesus. Do you know that? Do you know Jesus? Aiden, if I could have you come up right now. This is a quote from Tim Keller. Jesus lost all his glory so that we could be clothed in it. He was shut out so we could get access. He was bound, nailed, so that we could be free. He was cast out so that we could approach. And Jesus took away the only kind of suffering that can truly destroy you, and that is being cast away from God. He took so that now all of the suffering that comes into your life will only make you great. A lump of coal under pressure becomes a diamond, and suffering of a person in Christ will only turn them into somebody gorgeous. That is the gospel, guys. Jesus died so that we could be forgiven, so that we could be healed, and our lives could be a testimony of who he is. If you invite Jesus into your life to be your Lord and Savior, I promise he will work all things together for your good. He will create a story with your life that will blow your mind because that's the kind of God he is. He doesn't disappoint. He doesn't fail. He doesn't ever stop being exactly what he is, and that is love. God is love. If you want that today, if you want that hope and that restoration and that love, if you want to see God work a miracle in your heart, we're going to give you that opportunity tonight. Right now, I just want everyone to bow your head and to close your eyes. If you have never made a decision to follow Christ before, if you want Jesus to forgive your sins and become the Lord and Savior of your life, if you're ready to make this commitment, then with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you want Jesus to come into your life, I want you to look up at me right now. Okay. See you. See you. It's awesome. Is there anyone else? I see you. Don't miss your chance, guys. It's awesome. All right. I'm going to pray this prayer, and I want you to pray it with me in your heart. Lord, we thank you that you are truly a God who works everything together for our good. That you take what might seem meaningless to the world and you make it beautiful. God, we admit that we have sinned and fallen short of your glory, but we are so thankful that you sent your son to die for us so that we can have an amazing relationship with you. Lord, would you come into our hearts today and turn us into something beautiful? We commit our lives to you, and we are excited to watch you work in our lives and grow us. We love you, and we pray all of this in your holy name. Amen. Amen. Can we clap tonight for the Lord? Man. If you just made that first time commitment, we're going to have leaders around the room. I want you to find one of them and just have them pray with you. We would love to talk to your pastors. I would love to talk to you. So just come find one of us tonight. And if this message is something that resonated with you, then please, please come and get prayer.